Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow. I encourage you to take notes or get your phone ready because the Lord's going to give you some great stuff. How many of you love celebrating how right with God we are? Amen. Okay, me too. Let's prepare ourselves and make a decision that when we leave here today, we won't let those lies come back. Okay, now listen, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head. Not every thought you have comes from you or from God. You have an enemy who'll lie to you. Okay, so there's no magic prayer. I can pray for you that he'll never try to deceive you or trick you again. So what we have to do is prepare ourselves and equip ourselves with the truth so that we don't succumb to it. So that we don't succumb to it. So Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we prepare our hearts and our pens and our notebooks and our phones for all the download that you're gonna give us this morning, because it's not enough just to celebrate all the righteousness that's in our account. Lord, we want to be able to walk in it and make withdrawals in it, that your righteous seed would permeate and germinate our soul and our body, kicking out all that stinking thinking, kicking out all the negative emotions. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Well, we had a prophetic word given at Prayer Shield yesterday, so that's going to be part of our declaration. I didn't get it all before I made this slide up, but it was a great word. So let's hold our Bibles up and say this together. This is my Bible. The truest thing about me is what God says about me. And he says, we battle a defeated foe. My victory is yours. You have reaped what I have sown. You are my bride and I am your portion forever. Oh my goodness. Yeah, amen. We're going to continue our series this morning on the names of God. Let's go to Psalm 145, verse 1. I'll extol you, my God and my King. We've been doing that this morning. And I'll bless your name when I feel like it. I'll bless your name forever and ever. I'll bless your name when my team loses. Every day, come on, say every day. Every day I will bless you. And I will praise your name forever and ever. Why? Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. It's beyond what we can fathom. And we've been in this series on the names of God. If you're just joining us, man, welcome to a wonderful series where God's disclosing some things. So I want you to have this. The names of God reveal five different things. If you're just joining us, number one, they reveal his desire for us to know him. You have a choice to make as a believer in America. You can just be one of those that believes in God, but I would tell you even the demons believe and tremble. Or you can know him. And what we're trying to get across to you is that God reveals himself in all these names. He's Elohim. Can I get a witness? He's bigger than we are. If his greatness is beyond what we can understand, it might be challenging for us to know him. So he's going out of his way telling you, this is my name. This is who I am. I'm introducing myself to you. I'm disclosing myself to you. Why? So you can know him. Number two, the names of God reveal different aspects of who he is. Number three, the names of God reveal Jesus Christ as the fulfillment and demonstration of each name. We looked at Emmanuel last week because it was our Christmas service. But he's the name above every name. He is the fullness of God in bodily form. Every name, you can see Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd, is walking around when I'm looking at Jesus Christ. Jehovah Jireh, our provision, Jesus Christ is walking around. He's the fulfillment and demonstration of each name. Number four, the names of God reveal a description of his character and nature, some component of him. And then number five, they reveal our connection to him. Everybody say connection.
Our connection to Him as our Father and our absolute reliance upon Him as our source for life and peace. And that list goes on and on. He's your source for righteousness. He's your source for shepherding. He's your source for life and godliness. He's your source for peace. He's your source for love. He's your source for joy. Amen. Aren't you glad 19-year-old football players are not your source for joy? The Spirit of the Lord is your source for joy. Amen. Just like a fish came from water. So where are all the fish right now that are alive? In water. You came from the Spirit of God. So as a human being, you need to abide in Him. You need to live in Him and be what? Sourced by Him. So in these names, He's always revealing how He's sourcing us. And in the Old Testament, God never allowed people to draw Him or build a graven image of Him. Why? We cannot define Him. You can't even comprehend Him. We can't even see Him without His help. Think about that. He's got to show Himself to you. Our finite minds cannot conceive of the infinite God. All we're able to grasp about our Lord is based on what He reveals to us. Think about that. He's got to help you see who He really is. Now, with that, does He want us to seek Him, or do we just sit around and watch football and say, well, Lord, show Yourself to me? No, we need to seek Him, but we have a promise. If we seek Him, we will knock and it'll be, ask and it'll be given unto you. Amen. Remember Jesus told Peter, flesh and blood didn't even reveal that to you. My Father in heaven showed that to you. So the Father has to disclose Himself. And so you can see with all these the importance of the names of God. And we began with Elohim because that's the first one mentioned. Mighty, strong Creator. That's who He is. And then we move to Jehovah. Then last week, as I mentioned, Emmanuel, we're going to go back to Jehovah. I want to get into some of the compound names of God this morning, and then we'll continue on in this series. Why? Why are we doing it? Because He wants you to know who He is, and He wants you to know Him as your Father, and He wants you to know Him as your source. Amen. Amen. So Jeremiah 23, verse 3. The Lord says, I'm going to gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I've driven them and bring them back to their folds, and they'll be fruitful and increase. How many of you want Grace Church to be fruitful and to increase? Amen. Verse 4, then I want to set up shepherds over them who'll feed them, and they'll fear no more, nor will they be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking. Amen. That's good stuff. All right, and then he says, behold, the days are coming that I'll raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper, capital K there. King shall reign and prosper. He'll execute judgment, righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved. Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called the Lord our righteousness. This word here is Jehovah Tsidkenu. And I'll spell it for you. Tsidkenu. That's the Hebrew translation there. Jehovah Tsidkenu. The T is silent. But it means the Lord our righteousness, or even better, the Lord your righteousness. And what was going on in Jeremiah here is there was a lot of cultural chaos going on. There's a lot of deception going on. Things weren't going the right way. So God does what? He proclaims His righteousness in the midst of cultural chaos. The shepherds were confusing people. They were actually creating confusion about who God was instead of leading God's people to know Him. And to what? Live a connected life to Him. That's the role of the shepherds there. Shepherds don't make you dependent on them. Because shepherds are fallible. Can I get a witness? Shepherds help you learn from Jesus to be like Jesus. They bring you into relationship with Him. Well, amen. But what was happening was the shepherds of that day were more interested in just proclaiming this false peace. Everything's fine. Everything is A-OK, and they were addicted to being popular rather than speaking the truth. So it's kind of similar to today. And God, in the midst of all this, says, what am I going to do? I'm going to raise up a standard of righteousness in the midst of it. And can I get a witness that real love tells the truth about where people are, what's going on, who God is? It speaks, real love speaks truth. Agape love tells the truth. Judges chapter 21, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel, so everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Wow. This is a bad idea. Let's let everyone do what they think is right. Does that sound familiar? Because we don't want to hurt anyone, and we don't want to exclude anyone. So if they want to marry this, that, the other, we don't want anyone to be excluded. My goodness. So now we have the creation telling the Creator what's right and wrong. Politicians step into this environment. They want to get rid of truth so they can say, well, I'll tell you what's right and wrong, and I'll tell you what's good and evil. And we're going to celebrate this. And we're like, wait. Now, God does not celebrate that. Doesn't matter. God's passe. He's past tense. He's old hat. We're not going to do what God says. I'm going to tell you what should be celebrated. Dangerous. Look at that. Yeah, not only dangerous, but is it okay if I say it's dumb? It's dumb. We don't know how life is to be lived better than the one who invented life. The one who is the all-existent one. Yahweh. So everyone did what was right in their own eyes. You know, this will never work, America. It'll never work because you're going to have to draw the line somewhere. Well, I get, but everybody's line is different. Okay, then let's go with God's line. And then we'll all know what is true and right and what is the best. But man wants to do whatever feels good. Man wants to do what he believes he should be allowed to do. And that is a bad idea. So the Lord says, in the midst of an environment like this, I'm going to raise up righteousness. I'll be the source of righteousness. And we'll see in this passage in Jeremiah that apart from him, we are nothing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Apart from him, you don't have any righteousness. Think about that. You're either righteous in him or you don't have any. Yeah, I know. And church has been teaching the opposite of that for years and years. I mentioned the time that I went to prison to minister. Let me clarify that. And I just, under the unction of the Lord, I said, how many of you are in this room that you're born again Christians, you're as righteous as I am? And you know, a few hands went up. I said, how many of you are as righteous as the Apostle Paul? Maybe one hand. Then I said, how many of you are as righteous as Jesus Christ? No hands. I said, then none of you are saved. None of you are born again. We're all either righteous with the righteousness of Christ that was gifted to us, or we are not righteous.
Amen.
Amen. So all this morning, isn't that amazing? All these prophetic words about, hey, stop judging yourself unworthy. Stop looking to yourself for your merits. You never got a relationship with me through what you did or you didn't do. I gifted you right standing with me. And it's amazing how the divine orchestrator, the Holy Spirit, just seeded that into our spirits all throughout worship. Because he was bringing forth this word being deposited in your spirit and your soul and your mind right now, that you're actually righteous in Christ. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, your righteousness. My goodness. And we'd rather mope around and say, well, I'll tell you, I'm just an old sinner. No, you're not. If you're born again, you're the righteousness of God. But I committed a sin yesterday, and your outer missteps cannot change your inner identity, because your inner identity was gifted to you. It is by grace you were saved, through faith, your receptivity, your belief. not of works. See, amen? The church ought to be celebrating. The righteousness of God has come. You're longing to be right with God. We all long for it. We want to be close to Him. We want to feel close to Him. I'm telling you, I have good news. It was gifted to you. Your behavior is not your issue. It's your belief. You don't believe you're righteous. If you believe you're right, sin will look detestable to you. You believe, I'm too pure for that, devil. I'm not going to do that. Amen. I refuse to identify with that. Amen. All that we are, all that we can be is found in our connection to Him, our dependence upon Him. You want peace? You're going to have to rely on Him for peace, not the stock market. You want righteousness? You're going to have to rely on Him for righteousness. A fish relies on water for all of its life. Because fish came from water. You came from the Spirit of God. My goodness. How about this? The pulpit ministry is not measured by an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or a shepherd or a teacher's eloquence of speech. You don't measure how good they are by how good they articulate truth even. My goodness. The success of pulpit ministry is measured, are you ready, by the mature and impactful lives of the saints. The maturity level and the impact of walking and talking with Jesus every single day. That's how you measure success in pulpit ministry. Can I get a witness that if pulpit ministry was the end-all be-all, America would be already saved and completely changed? Because we've been standing in pulpits for hundreds of years. What's going on? The Word's not being made flesh. We have people that think the apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher, pastor, all that stuff is up there for their own good, their own glory. No, they're there to equip you, to tell you the truth. Here's the problem, though. I can tell you, you have $10,000 of righteousness in your account. It was gifted to you by Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord, your righteousness. But I can't make you withdraw it. You have to choose to withdraw every day and dare to believe I am righteous. I've got righteous resource. Amen. And what we do in church is we all celebrate. Man, Brother Steve said, I got $10,000 of righteousness in my account. Yay! That's not the point. The point is, go live it. Go make withdrawals on it. Go share it. Go impart it to somebody. My goodness, tell your children and your grandchildren that Jehovah Sidkenu has come. And He has gifted them right standing with God. Why? Because we could never earn it. Church attendance won't do it. Tithing won't do it. Helping people across the street won't do it. The moment Jesus Christ stepped foot on planet Earth, man should have ceased immediately from his efforts to be right with God. The moment Jesus showed up, Jehovah Sidkenu, made flesh, man should have said, that's it. Am I right, Bruce? We should have said, that's it. We could never make ourselves right or else He wouldn't have come. What should we do? Well, I think we should glorify Him. I think we should fall in love with Him. Amen. I love being able to tell the devil because he's an accuser. He's a condemner. He always wants to put guilt on me. I love being able to tell him, shut up, devil. I was never made right because I didn't do that. I was never qualified to preach or teach God's Word because I have a life that never makes mistakes. I'm only qualified here because Jehovah Sidkenu lives inside me and made me right with Himself. He did it. Come on, amen. Amen. So how do we measure pulpit ministry success? The maturity of the saints, the impactful lives of the saints, the Word being made flesh in the saints. Are they learning from Jesus to be like Jesus in the saints? That's great leadership. Imagine leaders being given not to prop themselves up as the heroes, but rather given to serve the body of Christ. Not placed on top of the body of Christ, placed underneath them. To exhort them, encourage them, lift them up, tell them you got 10 grand of righteousness in your bank account. Leadership is not about being served, it's about serving. So what do I do? What do I do with my gift? I serve you with it. I serve you with it. Don't you dare worship me. Don't you dare put me on a pedestal. I'm no different than you. I have the same access to Jesus Christ that you do. But I do have the gift of exhortation. Amen? I do have the gift of encouragement. Why? Because I've seen him. I know him personally. So I declare it everywhere I go. I like to share in other churches. Why? Because I want the whole world to know. And you know, even in my evangelism gift, because I have some evangelists in me too. The Lord has used me to do what? Evangelize the church. Because so many people in church don't know him. Amen. We have more church members than born again Christians in Oklahoma. We got more people on those rolls, more names on those rolls than who know him. Because they think, well, yeah, I believe in God. So does the devil. Do you know him? This is eternal life, that they would know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And there's some prophetic visionary in there. Maybe some apostle in there. I mean, there's all kinds of things. I'm changing his pocket. Whatever he wants me to do, I'm going to do it. And he's got me underneath you. And not just me, many others in this house. Amen? Many others in this house underneath you, serving you, supplying you, and telling you the truth. But I can't make the withdrawals for you. I can't walk it out for you. I need you to believe. I need you to know him and walk with him and make withdrawals on what's been given to you. Come on, give him praise in the house of God. Amen. Leadership is not about power. It's about empowering others. It's not about being served. It's about serving. So I take my gift and I serve you with it. What I need you to do, I need you to serve your home with your gift. Serve your family with your gift. Serve your business with your gift. Serve your church with your gift. Serve. It's not about being served. It's about serving others. It's not about you having power. It's about empowering others. Leadership is not about creating more followers. It's about creating leaders. Amen. We're not a Grace Church trying to create a membership role. We're trying to create leaders. And there are apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists in this very house. And some of you will apostle and evangelize at Tinker. Some of you will do it at McDonald's. Some of you will do it in Choctaw High School. But we're here to stir up the gift of God that's in you. That's how you measure success of any type of pulpit ministry. Are the saints mature? Are they making an impact? Do they love Jesus more than their own lives? Amen. Leadership is not about creating followers, but creating and developing leaders. Leadership is not about leading with our words, but leading with our lives. I want my life to match what I tell you. And do you want to know why I have such passion and, I don't know, anointing or whatever on righteousness? Because this revelation set me free. I was a college baseball player. Northeastern State University in Tahlequah. Jesus came to my room to tell me that he loved me because of who he was, not because of what I did. I was enslaved to religion. I had a self-based, performance-based relationship with God. So if I did good, I was self-righteously okay with God. Can you? That's arrogant. And if I had a bad day and I gave in to sin, I mean, I was 20 years old, I was a college student, I had lots of sins. But if I gave in to one, I was no longer righteous. Who am I looking to? I'm sourced by my own performance, and I'm telling you, I'm nullifying Jehovah Sidkenu. The Lord said, in the midst of all the chaos, I'm going to raise up righteousness. And your righteousness will be from me. What do we lack? We lack faith. We let our emotions overtake us. So much of sin is emotional. You give into your emotions. You give into your thought life, which lead, you know, negative thoughts can lead to negative emotions. They're tied together. So we got to renew our mind. Amen. We got to live transformed lives. I'll get to that in a minute. Man, I'm going to need till about noon today. But I'm just going to keep going. I don't care. I say that in love. Leadership It's not about seeking honor from people. Leadership is seeking honor from the one true God. Amen. Well, I don't want to say that. You know, I don't want them to be mad at me. Listen, if the Lord's prompting you to say it in love. Say it in love and convey that. Honesty kills fear immediately. If you're concerned it'll hurt them, here's an idea. Tell them. I don't want this to hurt you. I don't want to come off as mean-spirited, but man, then share truth with them. How about 1 Peter 1:23? You're about to get excited. You've been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You've been born again with this seed in your spirit that can't be corrupted. It can't be corrupted. Can your mind be corrupted? Yes. Can you corrupt your body? Yep. But you can't sin by the Spirit. So therefore, you cannot corrupt the seed of righteousness, the word of God that's in you. Think of this, your spirit man, one third of you is already heaven ready. One third of you is there. And it's not going to change because it's in him. He did it. Now, your soul and body need some work. Amen. You need some help there. But you got to let that spirit, that seed that's in you begin to germinate. Let it grow, in other words. So let me say this. The seed that's in your spirit contains all you need to live a righteous life. All you need is in that seed. But our problem is we let it remain a seed. Stop letting it remain a seed. Let it become a what? An oak of righteousness. If you're still sinning just constantly, or you have this flesh pattern you can't overcome, I would ask you, are you letting that seed germinate? Because the purpose of that seed was not to stay tucked away, hidden in your spirit somewhere. He wants that seed to grow into an oak of righteousness that totally influences your soul. That's your choosing mechanism, your will. Yeah, he's interested in your will. He's interested in what you choose and who you choose every day. Absolutely interested. Your thought life, your emotional life. And then your body. He wants it demonstrating him and who he is. So if the seed isn't being allowed to grow, then the old self life that you were trained under is gonna take over. The old self life, the flesh will start ruling and reigning. So we gotta allow that seed to grow. And a great question is, Brother Steve, how do we grow the righteous seed of Christ? Are you ready? Number one, the Holy Spirit and belief in the truth. This comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. It says, we're sanctified, which means we become more and more like Christ in attitude and action by the Holy Spirit and belief in the truth. Boy, that sounds really good to me. That sounds way better than using my own ability to, quote, stop sinning. I'm going to stop sinning so I can be holy. If you're born again, you're already holy. And the reason you struggle living holy is because you don't believe and see how holy God has made you. My goodness. Holy Spirit and belief in the truth. So we're going to come under the influence of his righteous seed by partnering with the Spirit. I don't know what your church denominational background is, but you need to be in love with the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid of him. He will declare and disclose Jesus to you. Love the Holy Spirit. Call on his name. Wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Amen. Do not be afraid of him. And then believe the truth. How about this one? Abiding. You need to abide in the vine. Live there. Remain there. Stay there. Walk with Jesus. Include him in all your decisions. That's a novel idea. The devil comes knocking. How about this? Lord Jesus, what do you think? I want to include you in all my decisions. I'm just going to continue to abide in you. You realize he doesn't leap out of your body while you go do something dirty. He's there. And after sin is conceived and gives birth to, you know, the flesh and death, here it comes. Hey, that's not who you are. Am I right? That's not who you are. Let me get you back on track. How about time with Scripture? That'll grow the seed. Time in worship, like this morning. But these things right here, Sunday morning should not be the only time you're doing these things. Amen. Pulpit ministry success is not the exaltation of the Sunday gathering. Pulpit success is, are you living Christ every day? Amen? Prayer as listening and receiving. Well, I love that. I love that when he said, Steve, you talk too much. Listen. He said, I already know you. You don't know me very well. Let me talk. How about this? How do we grow the seed? Accountability partners. But not to, hey, Roger, did you sin today, that thing you told me? No. Roger, are you living your true identity? Are you full of the righteous seed of Christ? Are you manifesting your true and real identity and purpose? So that's great accountability. But we need good friends. Amen? Good friends that will tell us the truth. Hey, brother, that's not you. That's not you. And don't our friends tell us stuff like, you're not going to believe what this guy did to me at work. He said this about me and he slandered me to the boss. I'm going to go, you know, punch him in the nose. Your friends would say, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're going to put on Christ. And you're going to sit with the Lord and ask him how he can turn this for good and how he can reveal his love and his character to that person that slandered you. There's a novel idea. You didn't wake up for you today. You woke up to reveal who he is. My goodness. We're like, don't we pray this, Cindy? Lord, I pray that when people see me, they see you. And then you go to work and all hell breaks loose. Nobody's nice to you. You're like, Lord, what's going on? He's like, I'm answering your prayer. What better way to demonstrate my nature of unconditional love than to surround you today with people who don't love you? Didn't you said you wanted them to see me, right? Oh, come on. You know we'll pray ourselves into immaturity. If God answered all our prayers, we'd all be 1 year olds. Still learning to walk. I love it. And then number 7, you got to renew your mind. That's where the war is. Romans 12, be not conformed to the world, be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Believe the truth. I love that. Let me give you a few scriptures. I'm running short on time. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be what? Filled. They'll be satisfied. Oh, this was a great statement. Jesus is announcing for all of you who really are just dying to be right with God. I know you want to feel close to him, but you don't feel right. You don't feel close. I have good news. The gift of righteousness has come. He announces it there in 5:6. And isn't it interesting that it will satisfy you. So believe it, receive it, and celebrate it. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of Jesus, you're talking about Jesus Christ, but of him you're in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. And what else did he become for us? He is your righteousness, he is your sanctification, and he is your redemption. It's him. Touch your neighbor and say, it's him. Touch him again, say, it's not you. Only pride would say it's me. Only pride would say it's me. And we all know that comes from Lucifer. How about 2 Corinthians 5:21? God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. Did Jesus become sin for us? Did he die on the cross? Yeah. Why? That we might be the righteousness of God. Everybody say, I am righteous. I am righteous. Amen. So now you get filled because of Jehovah Tsidkenu and his manifestation through Jesus Christ and the gift of righteousness. You get filled with internal right standing with God. On the inside, you're right with God. Wow. How many of you think that should show up in our lives? Internally, I'm right with God. I'm someone who's right with God. I'm not trying hard to get there. That would be unbelief. Could you imagine trying to go to church and do good deeds and give money at church so you could be right with God? Who are you looking to? Yourself. Let me show you this one. Isaiah 54:17, it was prophesied, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. I like that better when I get to condemn the devil. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from. So the Lord put it on Cindy's heart to exhort you before the second song this morning, before the worship set really got going, to say, stop disqualifying yourself. It's a lie. Your righteousness is from me. You're clean because of me, so worship me. You're right with me because of me. Doesn't, and it makes sense. Do the math. Could man ever make himself really right with God? Think of how holy he is. Who is the holiness going to have to come from? Him. It would never be us. Never be us. Hallelujah. Amen. You have to know in your heart that the union that happened with Christ in your spirit man is a greater reality than anything your outer man does. The greater reality is who you are on the inside. And contrary to what so many believe, your outer behavior cannot undo your inner identity. Your outer behavior can't corrupt the seed of Christ. Remember that sign on I-35? Christians, please inform your faces. What were they saying? Dude, you're righteous. You're clean. Your outer behavior can't undo your inner identity. You've been born again with an incorruptible seed. If any man be where? In Christ, he's a new creation, brand new creation, a whole new species. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Amen, somebody. I love that. That incorruptible seed filled you. That seed of righteousness filled you. Now he wants to explode it. He wants that righteousness to grow into an oak of righteousness all throughout your life. And that inner seed of righteousness, that's the true you. That's who you really are. You are not who your mother-in-law said you were, who the coach said you were, what your ex-spouse said you were. You are not any of those. They didn't make you. They can't define you. And you got to remember this. The devil cannot make you bad. He can only make you think you're bad. And he has spent so much of the church's life convincing us we're bad, awful sinners, which is contrary to who God says we are. So God raised up a righteous seed of a church out in Choctaw, of all places, started in a house in Hera, then in Choctaw, and said, guess what? The truest thing about you is what I say about you. Amen. Yeah, come on, amen? Yeah. And we're like, let the revolution begin. Yeah. The truest thing about you is what I say about you. And he said, the most humble thing you can do is agree with who I say you are. Right. Humble yourselves and agree with me. You don't know more about you than me. It all comes down to humility. It all comes down to believing the truth. I'm telling you for 2020, let's dare to believe it. Yes. Let's dare to believe it. Your behavior is simply a byproduct of what you believe to be true about yourself. So who is the true you? It's the righteous seed that's in you. That's who you are. Hallelujah. I love that. Do you realize that if your view and opinion of you is not the same as God's view and opinion of you, you're wrong. If your feelings say, I don't feel righteous today, but God says you're righteous, your feelings are wrong. Amen. Amen. I've never been so glad to be wrong. So maybe the day has come now for the church to quit telling people to quit sinning and start telling people to believe the truth. Amen? Why is God evangelizing the church? Because they need to believe the truth. If we're born again, and I assume you're at church because, you know, you love the Lord, and at some point in your life you invited Jesus, the righteous seed, to come in. Then we need to quit telling you to stop sinning and tell you to believe the truth of who you are. And the more you believe it, the better your behavior becomes. My goodness. So the enemy builds his case against you on your behavior. He builds his case against you on feelings. God builds his case on spirit and on truth. Why? Because God himself is spirit. You're not an unrighteous being trying to become righteous. You're a righteous new creation, simply trying to live out the reality of your true identity that was gifted to you by Jehovah Tsidkenu. Amen? Do you think God waits? I got this from Bruce Bartow many years ago. Do you think God waits to call a bird after it learns to fly? Or is a bird at its birth? Does God wait at conception? That's right. Does God wait to call an apple tree once it has apples on it? Can you be an apple tree even if you don't see the fruit you want to see right now? Are you still an apple tree? Start believing it. Start walking with it. Start identifying with who you are. You became a bird at your new birth. And then he's there to what? Teach you how to fly. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Isn't this a powerful truth this morning? I'm telling you, it's a powerful truth. You've been born again, not of performance-based righteousness or self-based righteousness. You've been born again by an incorruptible seed. Therefore, our security, everybody say security. Our security is not in us. It's in what God has done for us. We can bank on that. We can absolutely bank on that. Are you ready for one more? Look at this one. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awaken unto righteousness and sin not. Which one comes first? Awaken. Awaken, church, to how righteous you are. And oh, by the way, the byproduct is you sin not. So every week we remind you how righteous you are. I mentioned the $10,000. I remind you in the gift of encouragement that you got 10 grand of righteousness in your bank account. Go ahead and access it. You know, go ahead and begin to make withdrawals. Don't just celebrate. We can't just run around and celebrate. Yay, we have 10 grand. Let's make some withdrawals. Let's write checks on it. God wants to awaken us to all kinds of things in 2020. Gavin, you and Stephen can come. He wants to awaken us to righteousness. Amen. About three of you. He wants to awaken us to the truth. Amen. He wants to awaken the sleeping body of Christ. What are we doing sleeping? Feeling sorry for ourselves. Looking to ourselves to determine whether we're actually right with God or not, or clean or close to God. So he's awakening the sleeping body of Christ. He's awakening our power and our potential in him. God wants to awaken the person next to you. Go ahead and poke him and say, I can't have a sleeping Jesus next to me. Come on, amen. Is the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead in the one next to you? Are you your brother's keeper? Yes, you are your brother's keeper. And you got to tell him, I can't have a sleeping Jesus next to me. Because he said, awaken unto righteousness. So we come together and we awaken one another. And when we do small groups, we awaken one another. And when we go to lunch today, amen, after church, you awaken one another. He's waking up the body of Christ in 2020. Somebody shout amen. Oh my goodness. Lord, use me to wake up my spouse. Lord, use me to wake up my children. Lord, use me to awaken my grandchildren. Lord, use me to awaken my boss. Lord, use me to awaken my employer, my neighbor, my church, my brothers, my sisters, because I am my brother's keeper. I believe the Lord wants to awaken the United States of America in 2020. Lazarus, get up. Get up, Lazarus. You've been in the tomb too long. Oh, to hear the Spirit of the Lord say, stop mourning. She is not dead. She is just sleeping. Amen. Wake up our marriages. Wake up our families. How about this? Wake up our gifts. Pulpit ministry success is not, wow, what a gift. Pulpit ministry success is, hey, this guy or girl spurs me to find my gift. We don't come to celebrate one gift. We come to activate all the gifts. Amen. Don't you love how prophetic words come and worship? And I love all that. It's team sport, guys. Wake up our prayers, Lord. Wake up our gifts. Wake us up to the righteous identity we have in Christ. How about this? Maybe it's time we awaken to the idea that God cannot lie. And if he says you're righteous, deal with it. If he says you're okay in your spirit, man, deal with it. Believe it. Dance with it. Celebrate it. And then what? Withdraw. Make a withdrawal and begin to live an upright and righteous life. Go ahead and stand with me. I like that one. Lord, awaken us to the reality. You cannot lie. I am who you say I am. Isn't there a song about that? I am who you say I am. 10:34. Look at this one. Three easy steps. Number one, wake up. Number two, remember who you really are. Number three, go be the true you. Doesn't that sound better than a list of do's and don'ts? And wake up, remember who you are, and go be the true you. Amen. My goodness. All right. Let me ask this question. Is there anyone here you'd say, Brother Steve, I have not received Christ as my righteousness. I don't know him, but I want to know him. And I want to receive him into my heart. Anybody? Just raise your hand up. We'll pray with you. We'll celebrate with you. Anyone? All right. To the church. I know we love the truth. Amen. We love it. The goal of this morning, ask him, Lord, what can I do to ensure I don't let lies creep back in? What can I do to ensure that my emotions don't come back and try to overrule what I know to be the truth? Even my behavior. See, a lot of people think how you behave reveals the truth. How you behave may actually reveal you believed a lie about yourself. If someone's living estranged from God because he doesn't love them, can I get a witness? That's not the truth. Them living estranged from God actually reveals they've believed a lie. There's no truth in what they're believing or living. Let me pray for you. Are we all in 2020, church? Are we together in getting to know him? And one of the ways you need to know him, he's Jehovah Tsidkenu. He's your righteousness. My goodness. Father, I pray under the unction of the Holy Spirit that every assignment against these precious people, every lie, is utterly smashed and destroyed by the truth of your word and the power of the Holy Spirit right now. And Lord, as they have this clean slate, as they realize the gift of righteousness has come, Lord, I thank you that every shackle, every reoccurring flesh pattern is broken off of them right now. Right now in Jesus' name. And that we believe this truth and we receive this truth. And it's not a one-time believing or a one-time receiving. But Lord, we commit to dance with the truth on a daily basis. Because the truest thing about us is what you say about us. Lord, as a church, we give 2020 to you. We thank you not just for goals, but strategies on the love of God being awakened all over town. The love and the righteousness of Christ being elevated all over this nation. We thank you, Lord, and give you permission to use us to be the change we want to see. That we serve, that we supply in our homes, in our marriages, in our families, our workplace, our church, our business, all those places, our schools. Lord, be you and be exalted because your name is great. And greatly to be praised. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said, amen. Give him praise in the house of God this morning. One other thing.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.